Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devos. This week we've been reading through the book of Philippians, and today we're going to wrap up this short book by reading the very last chapter, chapter 4. So let me read this for us before I share some thoughts. Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Chapter 4, in some kind of way, feels kind of like a mishmash of ideas where Paul is working towards concluding his letter. It's I don't know if this is true, but it's almost as if I could just imagine that Paul still has a bunch of things he wants to say, but he's either running out of time or scroll space. So he has to kind of go through it almost bullet point style to wrap up his letter. In verses 2 through 9 specifically, we're given four sort of teaching ideas where he just kind of hits them one after the other. And let me touch on each one of them briefly. In verses 2 and 3, it appears that there were two people in the church in Philippi, Euodia and Syntyche, who were having some issues with each other. We don't know what those issues are, but in the end, they weren't able to reconcile. So Paul here is urging those to whom he's writing to help these women to reconcile and agree in the Lord. The church is an amazing and beautiful place because, at its best, the church is a picture of the kingdom of God, a community of love, grace, healing, and redemption. But also sometimes the church is going to be messy, like we see here. Even a church like this one in Philippi, one that Paul found great joy in, you know, we saw this repeatedly throughout this letter, even a church like this had issues between its members. Knowing this, Paul urges them to reconcile, but the thing is, this isn't only directed at these two women who have issue with each other. He's writing to others in the church, and he's urging them to be involved in this process of reconciliation. And this is what we're meant to do as the church. We're not meant to look away and pretend like we don't see the issues or the conflicts. We're actually meant to help one another, which means, yes, even getting involved in each other's messes. The idea that probably makes you a little bit uncomfortable. You might think that it's just easier if you don't get involved, but we're meant to consider the health of the whole church. So just think about your context. Are there people in your life that you are having a hard time getting along with? Or maybe it's not you, but you see people in your family group or your microchurch who are facing conflicts or disagreements with each other. Let's work to agree in the Lord and even help each other to do so. And then moving on to verses 4 through 7, Paul gives a few commands here. First, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case they didn't get it the first time, he says it again, rejoice. This is in line with the other things Paul says about joy in the book of Philippians. Rejoice always. Then he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. This word reasonableness here can also be translated as gentleness or a forbearing or patient spirit. So Paul writes, let your patient, gentle spirit be known to all. And then, almost as an add-on, he says, the Lord is at hand, meaning Jesus is soon returning. This feels a lot like what it says in James chapter 5, verse 8. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. In essence, it seems Paul is saying Christ is soon returning, so take on his character of gentleness and patience. After that, he commands, do not be anxious about anything, but let your requests be made known to God through prayer. How often do we worry and fret? It could be about school, our work, relationships, our future. There are a lot of things that we worry about. I admit personally that I also do that more often than I know I should. Paul recognizes that worries and anxieties are present in our lives. But at the same time, he urges us to, rather than hold on to it, to come to the Lord in prayer with hearts of thanksgiving. When we do so, he says, the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds from these anxieties, and instead we will be filled with God's truth. And finally, to wrap up this section, Paul urges us to think about that which is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and praiseworthy. I feel like a lot could be said about each one of those things, but in other words, he urges us to think about and turn our attention to the things that are of God. You see, God is those things. He is true and honorable. He is pure and lovely. He is excellent and most definitely worthy of praise. We are to turn our attention to God. Now, I hit each of these things very quickly. I think you could give like a whole sermon on each of these chunks that I just very quickly touched on. But the thing I want to close with on this day is at the very end of this whole section in verse 9. In verse 9, Paul writes, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. He says to practice these things. I think sometimes we can delude ourselves into thinking that our spiritual maturity is contingent upon how much we know. Sometimes we think, whether consciously or not, that how much information I have stored in my mind about the Bible, about theology, about Christian history and ideas determines how mature I am in my faith. Sometimes we judge others even based on how much they seem to know, how much information they seem to have, how deep their knowledge appears to be about the Bible, about Jesus. You know, we look at those who seem to know a lot, who seem to be able to spout memory verses or theology and think that they must be more mature, and then vice versa. Knowledge is important, and it can definitely play a significant part in our spiritual growth and maturity. So I'm all for pursuing knowledge, knowing things about what the Bible says, about how we're supposed to live our lives. But knowledge alone does very little for us. We have to live it out. Or to use Paul's language, we have to practice these things. We must be willing to practice these things. Notice how Paul says to practice these things, not just simply do these things. I think there's a difference there. I think this particular word choice reminds us that living out the Christian faith isn't just this one and done type of thing where I can do something once or twice and then be done with it, but it's a life of practice, a life of constant growth and development. As I'm sure you might know from experience, you don't master peace or love or patience, but it's something you continually practice and grow in over time. Anyone who has practiced a musical instrument, a sport, or any other craft will know that practice doesn't always come easily. Sometimes it can feel like a grind, and sometimes it can even be discouraging, especially when you feel like you don't see much progress. But even with these other things in life, We know that the end is worth it. We know that even not the end, but even the times where we do see progress, where we do see growth, it's so amazing. Well, how much more our walk with Jesus? Consider what Paul says here, that as we do this, as we practice these things, the God of peace will be with you. As you intentionally rejoice or come to the Lord in prayer, as you actively think about that which is of God, we know that the God of peace will be with us. That we'll come to see him, know him better and more deeply. As a church, let's seek to be a people who not only gain knowledge and information, but practice the things we have learned. If you've been following along with us in our journey through the New Testament, first of all, I'm so glad that you're doing that, and I really hope that it's been a blessing. But you know, the point of this is not simply just to gain more information or to be able to reference a Bible verse at a particular moment in time, but to be able to grow and practicing and becoming more like Jesus. And so as you gain in knowledge, I hope that you'll commit to following and doing God's ways. And as you do so, encounter the peace of God and experience the great blessings of his presence and the joy of becoming more and more like Jesus as we grow in our faith. With that, why don't I just pray to close out this time? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us your word to know and to understand who you are and how you've called us to live. But Lord, that's the important part, God. You're not just giving us something to store in our minds and then just kind of be able to reference every once in a while. But you give us your word to form us and to shape us, partly through knowledge, but also very much through practice. And so, Lord, we want to be a people who put into action your words, and that consists of a lot of different things, but even just in our passage today, it consists of being a people of prayer rather than being anxious, looking to you. It's about being people who actively seek to rejoice as we remember who you are and the life that we have in you. It's being a people who work towards reconciliation and love for one another. It's about looking to you in all circumstances, turning our attention to that which is of you, not which is that which is of the world or our own sinful desires. Lord, I think if we even just take a moment, we'll recognize that all of this requires a lot of intentionality, that sometimes these things don't come naturally. And so, Lord, help us to be a people who practice these things, who commit to doing as you have called us to do, Lord. We thank you for this time in your word today. We pray that they would continue to remain in our hearts and our minds, Lord. We love you, God. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.